everyone. This is Molly Douthat.
And David Douthat.
And welcome to More Than Hearing, a podcast to encourage preachers to incorporate multiple intelligences into sermons and worship leadership, because there are plenty of ways to reach someone's soul.
Today's podcast will cover the lectionary selections for Year C, the first Sunday of Christmas. This may be a challenging week for sermon preparation, what with Christmas Eve and all. Lots of preachers will be taking the first Sunday of Christmas off.
Unless you're an associate pastor.
Yeah. Anyway, but some of us will need a little help, so multiple intelligences may be just the present you're looking for. Let's see how.
We have established this podcast based on Dr. Howard Gardner's theory of multiple intelligences. Dr. Gardner suggests that there are multiple ways to learn, process, remember, and understand our world. We have listed the various SMARTs on our worksheet templates as Word Smart, Vision or Eye Smart, Math Smart, Body Smart, Music Smart, Nature Smart, People Smart, and Self Smart. You can read more about Dr. Gardner's work by clicking the link at the top of our webpage.
As we read and reflect on the scripture passages for each week, we explore ways that these intelligences can be utilized for a deeper appreciation of God's Word. Now, to be honest, this week we're coming up a little short due to our preparations for other services and all, but we still have a few ideas up our sleeves to connect you and your listeners with the Scriptures, even on a Cannonball Sunday.
A Cannonball Sunday? What's a Cannonball Sunday?
That's when you could fire a cannon in the sanctuary and probably not hit a soul. Well, there's a visual for you.
Or like a stormtrooper?
Yeah, like a stormtrooper.
The Old Testament lesson for the first Sunday in Christmas is from 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 18 through 20, and then with verse 26 tagged on to the end of it. We have decided to forego looking at the psalm for this particular Sunday because it is Psalm 148, which is essentially words of praise and thanksgiving, praise and thanksgiving. And it seems a little self-explanatory. There really didn't seem there be much of anything else that came out of that except, you know, making a joyful noise unto the Lord. So we would invite you to look at that psalm and maybe use it in your liturgy at some point or another. So we're going on to something, to the Old Testament passage instead.
Okay, so the passage, 1 Samuel 2, is where Hannah has already given up Samuel to live with Eli at the shrine in Shiloh. Mm-hmm. And so it picks up the story there as the boy grows and tells that he was ministering before the Lord. And it says his mother used to make for him a little robe and take it to him each year. And that reminded me, anyway, of the stories from the Harry Potter books where Molly Weasley knitted Christmas sweaters for all her kids and for Harry every year. And they were big, bulky, kind of ugly. She wasn't
hideous colors.
She wasn't a great knitter, apparently. And they bring that out nicely in the movies. But anyway, the kids always wore them anyway because of the relationship that they had with their mom, and okay, I'll wear the sweater. So
at least on Christmas Day, anyway.
Yes, at least for a little bit. And once in a while, I think you see one of them lounging around in one of the sweaters. But you know, probably.
Well, you know, ugly sweaters are awesome loungewear. I have several.
They are. Anyway, this is an eye smart because of the movies element, and because, well, I guess mostly that. But it also could work as a body smart if you think about wearing a big, bulky, ugly sweater. But the key there is the idea of the new clothes that come up every year, and and there it was. Okay.
Also, going on to body smart, looking at it in body smart, the little robe that Hannah made for Samuel that she took to him every year. What you could probably do as a body smart for this is to invite members to bring any new clothing that they got for Christmas that year, wear it to worship. Unless it's pajamas or a bathrobe or something, you have
bring
some.
It and
well, yeah,
not
sure.
Wear it,
oh, but... hey, there you go. I didn't even think of that. Yeah. But to bring or to wear new clothes that they got for Christmas, and then talk about.
In my dad's church, they often would say for the Sunday after Christmas, "Come as you are." It was a "Come as you are" service, and, or on Christmas Day if they had a service,
uh-huh.
and that's if I'm in my pajamas.
So, yeah, bring the clothes, come as you are, and just as a reminder of the relationship that you have. There is a phrase that goes on in the 1 Samuel passage where Eli says to Elkanah, "May the Lord repay you with children by this woman," speaking of Hannah, "for the gift that she made to the Lord." And if you think about it, that was one heck of a gift, giving up her child. Chills. Anyway, David had an opportunity a few years ago, about 5 years ago now, to go spend some time at Iona, and there is a saying that they have about offerings there.
Yeah, part of their spiritual creed is that they say, "We will not give any offerings that cost us nothing." And so...
That certainly clicks with what Hannah has done.
Indeed. So that might be an illustration for this idea of the gift that she has given and not necessarily doing it to look for a reward. She certainly didn't. But
no, it was a promise that she had made, and so she was holding up her end of her promise to God. That
because God had kept God's end of the
exactly, bargain. Exactly. So maybe what you can do in people smart, interpersonal smart, is invite your congregation to share with one another ways that they have given gifts of great cost to themselves to God. This could be a really powerful experience. It might be the time when somebody first talks about something that they gave. You might want to frame it in such a way that it doesn't become my gift's bigger than your gift kind of thing, which we have a tendency to do sometimes, or that it becomes threatening to somebody that they don't want to talk about a gift that they gave. But just maybe introduce it with maybe your own illustration, and then invite people to do that. Or make it a self-smart and invite them to do that personally, quietly.
Yeah. The other thing here in this passage is that Hannah and Elkanah would go up to the shrine every year to see Samuel. So a self-smart idea might be to consider, how does seeing family members once a year, as you might be doing at the Christmas holidays, how does seeing family members once a year affect your faith journey?
Good. Let's go on.
The epistle lesson for the first Sunday of Christmas, year C, is Colossians 3:12-17. This is a really lyric passage where Paul is writing and says, "As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience. Bear with one another, forgive each other as you need to, as you have been forgiven. And again, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." And more about singing and such after that. So, lovely passage, very nice. And we came up mostly with special effects for you for this week on this one. So let's start with a word smart. We don't often do word smart since things are so word heavy anyway, but this kind of lends itself since the phrase "the word of Christ" shows up a few times, and "let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." So a special effect you might use here is to give out name tags and markers and let people choose what word of Christ they have or want to have dwelling in them. And have them mark it on the name tag and wear the name tag around, or the word tag, I guess we could call it then. Wear it for the service and maybe after, if you have a fellowship time, encourage them to talk with each other and ask each other about why they chose those particular words.
And since we are talking, or Paul uses the phrase, clothe yourselves, and then gives out all of these things, these characteristics with which he wants disciples of Jesus to clothe themselves, what you could do is have people identify, think about their own closets at home and identify what articles of clothing they have that might represent each of those particular characteristics. And then go home, find that article of clothing, and wear it around for the coming week. This kind of also connects with some of the other smarts, particularly interpersonal or people smart and intrapersonal or self smart. We'll get to that when we get down there. But it's just sort of a way of wearing on your body a reminder of one of the characteristics that Paul talks about that disciples of Jesus should exhibit to the world.
Right. And it's really up to the individual as to what they think compassion might be.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, totally. Totally. Yeah.
Okay, good. Music smart.
In perfect harmony.
Right. We've got perfect harmony and a direction to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God. So, hey, go for it. Let's have a little carol singing.
Absolutely. And if you're one of those traditions that really holds off on the Christmas music until the Christmas season, this might be your time to just go bananas and sing them all. A couple of years ago, I decided I didn't want to preach the Sunday after Christmas because I was pretty much fried from Advent and Christmas Eve. So we just had a carol sing that particular Sunday. It was wonderful. Kind of a lot of work on our pianist, but we had a ball. We just opened up the hymnal to the Christmas section of it and sang as many as we could.
So if you were thinking of doing that anyway,
go for it.
Here's a biblical mandate.
Exactly. Paul tells you to.
That's right. So going on to people smart, we have a couple of phrases, and as Molly mentioned above, we've got some references here. So bear with one another, it says, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive. So coming out of the Christmas holiday, as people gather together, family and friends come together to celebrate, might lift up and ask people to consider, were there points at which forgiveness became a part of your Christmas celebration this year, or were there points when it should have? Mm-hmm. And if it didn't, then
maybe there's something to work on for the coming year.
How might you apply that? Yes. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And again, going back to the idea of clothing, once you've had people identify particular articles of clothing that represent those characteristics, have them talk to each other, share with one another. You know, I've got this pair of boots that represents this. I've got a scarf that represents this. And that kind of moves on into self-smart, continuing on with the idea of being clothed in that. As you wear that article of clothing during the coming week, every time you look at your boots that represent kindness, just say the word to yourself, kindness. And just reinforce it throughout the week, what these particular characteristics are. Then also for self-smart, the phrase, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts and let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Have folks consider what it means to be rich in compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, love. And to maybe include that every time they look at that particular article of clothing. What does it mean for me to be rich in this characteristic?
Yeah, and to think about yourself as being rich in those things because of Christ. We have such a mentality of scarcity in, mm-hmm. in
and
our
we're
culture,
rich in a bunch of things that are just, transient.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Let's move on.
The gospel lesson for Christmas 1. Year C is Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 51. This is pretty much the only story of Jesus as a child that we have in our scripture. And it is a story of parents once again making a yearly pilgrimage to the holy place. This time, Jesus and his parents are going to Jerusalem for the festival of Passover. This is that story where Jesus gets separated from his folks and is lost for a while. And the reaction that they have with that one. And we know about kids being lost, don't we, David?
We do. And so that might be your illustration. And we put this as a body smart because it is, if you have had that experience, it is definitely a visceral thing.
Oh, yes.
Obviously, so stories about kids being lost or presumed lost and the abject terror that strikes a parent's gut when that happens.
It's just your world stops. And gosh, it's terrible.
Our 3-year-old son got separated from us at an amusement park, and 18 years later here, and
we can still feel it. Yes.
So,
oh, terrible. Yeah. Worst half hour of my life.
Yeah.
And it was only a half hour. It felt like days.
It did. It all worked out well.
It did. He's with us.
Yes. So.
Actually, in the other room. Yeah. Anyway. By the way, we are, for this particular passage, we didn't come up with any special effects, unlike the Colossians passage. We had nothing but special effects. For this particular passage, we have pretty much nothing but illustrations. Okay. Anyway, so we have the story of Jesus being lost. So how ironic is it that in later years, Jesus would tell 3 parables about the joyous reaction in heaven of things and people who are lost being returned? Maybe this made an impression on him. And you might use this as your people smart illustration. Talk about how, so very often as we read through the Old Testament and then we read into the New Testament, we see how Jesus learned things. If you ever read the Proverbs, you see so much of what he taught his disciples echoes out of the Proverbs. He obviously knew those. So here we have an experience of Jesus being separated from his parents and the agony that caused his parents. And so maybe when he was reunited with them and had his parents say, "Why have you done this to us?" it made an impression on this young boy. And so when he grew up in later years, he told a story of lost things being found and the joy that happens with that.
Right, and that might lead into some ideas then about what it means to be lost in our culture or to be spiritually lost, and Jesus' desire for us, which kind of leads us to the self-smart, because you might invite people to ask how anxious they are to find Jesus. Now, of course, you've got a room full of believers probably, but we're always on the journey,
and sometimes we get separated.
Sometimes we do, and sometimes we forget. But anyway, is there an anxious desire to find Jesus? And if regardless, we know that he is, as in this story, as he's waiting for his parents, he's calmly waiting for us as well. Mm-hmm. The other self-smart that you might connect with here is that at the end of the verse, or the end of the passage, it says that his mother treasured all these things in her heart.
That's the second time that Luke talks about that. The first time is when the shepherds barge in on them.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, actually, it might be the third, because doesn't she also...
Oh, after she visits Elizabeth?
After they visit the temple.
Oh, right, with Simeon and Anna.
Simeon and Anna.
Yeah, you're right. Yes, this is the third time. So when he was born, when he was presented to God, and now here when he's 13.
12, sir. anyway, what about your relationship with Jesus do you treasure in your heart? I'm sure that all your believing folks there are going to have good answers, but it's nice to maybe lift that up for them a little bit
and sure.
make it a conscious thing.
Sure.
So you can push that then around back into PeopleSmart and invite people to share those with their neighbors if you want, but certainly a self-smart activity to, since it's your own heart that you're looking into.
Exactly. Great. Let's go.
Okay, so it's time once again to look back on what we've tried, and it's time for the feedback loop. So, over the past several weeks, we've had a number of interesting experiences and tried several of the ideas that we presented to you. The second week of Advent, we had the idea of using a lever and fulcrum for showing off the imbalance or the
undue influence of small things with great power behind them.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So actually ended up that I had a 6-foot board and lying around, and it was about a foot wide, and I screwed in a block of 2x4 at about 1 foot from one end. So that it made
so it's a really weird teeter-totter.
Teeter-totter, yeah. It's got 1 foot at one end and 5 feet on the other, and used that as the lever, brought that in, and had a 10-year-old, 9-year-old, I guess he is.
He's close
almost
to 10.
He's almost 10. I stood on the short end, and he was able to push down the other end with one hand.
And lift you
and
off the
lift
floor.
Lift me off the floor, and it worked out really well. And
yes.
That was fun.
Yes. That Sunday, I had talked about how you could use shoes as a way of making a pathway to the salvation of God, and that pathway going up the aisle of your sanctuary to the cross, which is what I did. I wound up as I was putting the shoes down. I had intended to sing Curtis Mayfield's song "People Get Ready" while I was doing it, but something else came out. I talked about steps that you need to take to prepare the pathway to God. Maybe you need to forgive someone. Maybe you need to start looking at somebody as a child of God. And just things that came out of my mouth that I had no clue were coming out of my mouth, but obviously the Spirit needed them to be coming out of my mouth for the people who were there. So
I love it when that happens.
Yeah, it's like, oh, thank you. So I did a pathway of shoes going up the sanctuary aisle to the cross at the front. And then later we followed that path as we did communion by intinction.
Neat.
And David's chia pet is growing. Mine is still standing armpit deep in goop. I think it's just time to throw it out and give up.
Well,
that maybe was from Advent 1.
Yeah. We might be able to save those seeds. Who knows?
No, I don't think so. It's snot. It's just disgusting.
Okay. You do have to keep those things watered. Mine started off growing pretty well, and then over the last couple days before this Sunday, it dried out completely all of a sudden.
Oh, my goodness, really?
And, yeah.
Well, that's why it's all patchy.
So it got a little patchy, and but it's hanging in there, and yeah.
Well, the takeaway from this experiment is try it at home before you do it in worship.
Yeah. Or have some backup anyway.
Yeah.
Don't pin all your hopes on your chia pet. We tried the how heavy is a jug of water
for Advent
experiment
3.
Too. On
yeah, both of us
Advent
did that one.
Advent 3, and that worked out pretty well too.
Yeah, it was very obvious. You know, the weight of the water is the weight of worry or the weight of sinfulness and brokenness on a person's life. And as I had my elder standing up front holding out the liter of water that I had. I had her starting out holding out with one hand, and then eventually she had it in two hands, and then her elbows were bending, and then by the time I relieved her of her burden, she was really ready to put it down.
Yeah. And in my service, Molly served as the guinea pig for us there holding it out. And but I invited everybody else. I didn't have anything for them to hold in. I thought, oh, wait, hymnals. And
yeah. So everybody, the people who participated held a hymnal
out.
Yeah,
there were quite a few, actually, who did that. And so that made a lovely point. That worked out really well, too.
Mm-hmm. Then David wrote a hymn of praise. Remember we talked about how, think of the words of God singing a hymn of praise to you? And so David took a joyful, joyful, we adore thee, and wrote words from God's perspective, singing to the people, and it was beautiful.
Yeah.
I was all verklempt.
Thank you. and I happened to be in good voice, so it helped.
It worked.
But we'll maybe put that up in the show notes for you. So that was Advent 3, and then Advent 4... didn't use any special effects this week, at least I didn't. Molly did. So I used the illustration of jumping for joy, and talked about how most of the time that ends up being in sporting events these days. And
or on the playground with kids.
Or on the playground, yeah. But encourage them to think of ways, opportunities to where they might experience that kind of jumping for joy.
And then the Psalm passage had that repeating refrain, shine on us, let your light shine on us, O God, restore us, O God. And the special effect that I had suggested using was getting glow sticks and, you know, kind of turning your sanctuary into a little bit of a rave. Well, I didn't get around to getting glow sticks, so I grabbed a box of wooden matches, and I gave everybody a match and encouraged them to just hold on to that match and consider how a match is so small and it's so insignificant, like Judah or like Bethlehem of Judah, so tiny, but something big's coming out of it. And so you can strike this match, and it's just a little tiny flame, but you could use it to light a candle, or you could use it to light a fuse, or you could use it to start a fire. Just, you know, all the different ways that that little tiny thing that can spark of something that would shine. And then I encourage people to keep their match with them, and when they look at it, to consider how they can how God shines on them, and how they can be a shining light for God.
Neat. I came across a quote, not in the Christian tradition. I forget where it came from, but it was. You can light 1,000 candles from a single candle's flame, and that single candle's life is not shortened in the least.
Oh, wow.
Cool. Which is kind of neat, yeah.
And it also made me, I used as a sermon illustration, I think, and you did as well. We had an opportunity to be in a candlelight vigil last week, an interfaith candlelight vigil, standing around on the sidewalk outside a courthouse. All of us just quietly holding candles and signs with statements of what we believe to be God is. And that was a very powerful experience.
Yeah.
We can maybe put a link to that in the show notes, too, if anybody's interested in seeing the video or reading about it.
So that's it for the feedback loop. If you have ideas that worked for you, please let us know. And you can be part of the feedback loop, too.
That's it for today's podcast. Please ask questions or leave comments for us on our website at www.morethanhearing.org, or on our More Than Hearing Facebook page, or tweet us at More Than Hearing, or email us at connect@morethanhearing.org. If any of these ideas have sparked an idea for you, have led you off into your own path of discovery, something that worked beautifully for you and your congregation, let us know. We would really, really like to hear about it.
We'd love to know how using this theory has made a difference for your preaching and worship.
Yep.
So be sure to look for the show notes on the website, and don't forget to subscribe by clicking the iTunes, Android, or RSS links. And we're on the iTunes store now, too, so you can find us there. And leave us a review. Make it nice. We'll be back with another installment next week. In the meantime, stay subscribed.
And be smart.
We're sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
This is a Whippet Good production.